What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And if you're watching on BAM User, this gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire, who likes to join us on our Friday third hours with her unique perspective on the world. And so take it away. Oops, I'm sorry. Helps if I turn up your volume.
Okay, thank you, dear.
Yes, professional radio here, along with all the other problems we had this week.
Yeah, Steve Lindman had a very sober article in Global Research, which is a Canadian pro-truth, pro-justice blog. And he talks about Nikki Haley's anti-Iranian rage, prelude to war. And he described her as Trump's leading administration antagonist, notably on North Korea and Iran.
And Russia.
The whole enchilada. And China. Her hostile early September address on the Islamic Republic before the hawkish American Enterprise Institute preceded Trump's decertification of the JCPOA nuclear deal, an international treaty the president defied by his action. Haley's address was a deplorable litany of beginning-to-end lies, and on Wednesday, during a Security Council open debate on the Middle East, she was at it again. And Lindman says her remarks included a long laundry list of long-ago discredited canards. Washington, Israel, and its sinister AIPAC lobby resent Iranian sovereign independence, its military strength solely for defense, an obstacle to Israeli regional dominance, along with America's presence. And he asked the question, were Haley's hostile Wednesday remarks a prelude for initiating diabolical Trump administration plans ahead, including naked aggressive against the country, nuclear deals decertification, and a starter for what's to come? Now, Mike, as I look at Nikki Haley, I think that probably her strongest qualifications for the job of, I'm just going to say it out loud, bimbo ambassador at the UN representing the United States were two things. Her unwavering slavish affection for Israel, allowing her to believe that this country can do absolutely no wrong, and an absolute, nearly pathological inability to look at facts and make intelligent conclusions from a review of those facts.
Well, you need to understand that politicians like TV news reporters mm-hmm. have to be able to stand there with their hair on fire mm-hmm. and insist they smell no smoke.
No smoke, yeah.
And
yeah.
do it convincingly. Mm-hmm. And that's Nikki Haley's job. And obviously the fact that Trump has not yanked at her leash, mm-hmm. She is in fact reflective of administration policy.
Yep.
And the most recent one, of course, we talked about earlier in the program, is she's out there saying that Russia's meddling in our election was an act of war. Ignoring the fact that there's no evidence of Russian meddling in last year's election.
Yeah.
All the election fraud found so far points mm-hmm. to the Hillary Clinton people.
Yep.
And the head of the CIA has come on out and said if there was any Russian meddling, it wouldn't have had any effect. It was if it's too small to see, it's too small to have any effect. But again, Nikki Haley's job is to go on up there and just repeat the same official lies because that is the official reality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're not loyal to the official reality, then you are of no use whatsoever to the government.
Yeah. But, it's such a shame. I wish we had someone in this administration who could stand up to President Trump when he is wrong, sit him down and say, President Trump, on this particular issue, I really think a rethink is necessary.
Well,
and I'll go to another example of that a little bit later in some of the things I'm talking about. Apparently, Israeli forces have ransacked and shut down Palestinian media companies. They did this at pre-dawn time Wednesday, shut down and ransacked the head of a Palestinian media production company, citing incitement reasons during raids in Ramallah, Nablus, Al-Khalil, and Bethlehem in the West Bank. And apparently they went in like, a storming army to the headquarters of Transmedia, PAL Media, and Ramsat news agencies before they seized their equipment. The army shut down the offices of Transmedia and PAL Media for 6 months under a military order. And they sealed off the building with red wax and metal plates. Guys, maybe a little excessive.
Well, the red wax or wax seals to make sure nobody's
no one opens
back,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, gone back in there. But this of course, was also the broadcaster carrying Russia Today into Israel. And we're seeing this open warfare on Russia Today, not just in Israel, but here in the United States of America.
Oh, yeah.
There was a very alarming story where the former head of the FCC is out there saying that there has to be a law where anybody who simply forwards anything declared by the government to be fake news can be sued for libel.
Yes, President or Professor Revelle, I'd like to talk about her a little bit later
on
the show.
Good.
And, you know, the only thing I can think in terms of this Israeli raid and this complete overreaction to shut down the Palestinian Free Press, because was it possibly speaking the truth about occupation in Palestinian lands, which always, in the Israeli view, counts as incitement?
Well,
tell the truth, it's incitement. Tell
exactly
the truth,
right.
It's anti-Semitic.
That's exactly right. In this country right now, I need to borrow this just a second. We're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network, and it's all yours again.
Thank you.
I mean, here in the United States, if you speak the truth about what the government is doing, you're declared to be an arm of Russian propaganda. Say that arm, big meaty arm there. I'm an arm of Russian propaganda.
No, I think that American truth tellers need right now, the timing is critical, to band together and not allow the government narratives, which are always placed out with the prostitutes, to create the environment and the atmosphere to move an agenda forward. Apparently, the CIA chief was saying that North Korea is on the cusp of the ability to hit the U.S. with nukes. Pompeo warned that North Korea's progress is so quick right now that there is no way to predict when they'll succeed, adding, you're now talking about months, and that a detailed level of precision is irrelevant.
Well, sounds like a really good reason to leave North Korea alone then, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and now this is something I'm aware of. The huge war exercises between South Korea and the U.S. have theoretically ended as of today with the dateline yesterday, Thursday, our time. So what happens when these military resources just leave the Korean Peninsula for a while? Now, every day, I go to 38north.org, which is a highly respected organization under the auspices of John Hopkins University, and there has been nothing in recent articles about the North Koreans having moved any of their missiles to a launch site for a test. So, Mike, this is what I'm thinking. I think that Kim Jong-un won't do anything more with his missiles until his nuclear scientists are absolutely sure that they can have a missile and a payload which can actually hit the U.S. East Coast. At that point, he might be ready to negotiate with the United States, but from a position of strength.
Well, North Korea actually came out and said that just yesterday, that they're not interested in negotiations until they're in a position of parity.
Yeah,
and that is that they will respond to threats of nuclear attack from the United States with their own threats of nuclear retaliation, mutually assured destruction. And that's the whole point of the missiles and the nuclear bombs, is a credible deterrent to deter aggression. Because, again, if you go back and you look over the last 16 years, starting with Afghanistan, what is the nation that's actually doing the invading?
It's
the drone
us.
Striking,
it's
the
us.
Regime changing,
it's
the
us.
Coup d'etat. It's the United States of America.
Yeah.
And any nation, whether it's North Korea or Iran or anybody, has a reasonable expectation that they'd better build up their defenses and create a deterrent, or sooner or later, the U.S. war machine will be coming for them and their natural resources. It's just common sense.
Yeah.
And I don't blame North Korea for wanting a nuclear deterrent to keep the peace. I don't blame Iran if they should decide that they need a nuclear deterrent to keep the peace. I mean, if you look very carefully, the United States has never actually attacked a nation that has a nuclear deterrent.
Right.
They only attack small, helpless, weak nations. And with all this talk about nuclear this and nuclear that, let us not lose sight of the fact that only one nation on Earth has ever actually used nuclear weapons of mass destruction against the civilians of another country, and that is the United States of America.
Or as I'm referring to it now, the unhinged, surveilled states of America. And the unhinging is something that I'm really seeing.
Yeah, that hinge is about worn out there.
Yeah, and it's interesting because most of you know that my day job, I do marketing. But even if people don't understand intellectually what is going on right now with the way that the U.S. is pushing at various foreign governments and you know, going into making some very bad decisions, they hear it emotionally. And many times the people on the other end of the line, and my job is to be as gentle and friendly as I can, there's not a whole lot of gentle and friendliness that I'm hearing coming back to me.
It's not just on the phones here. I mean, around Oahu, when we first moved here, it really was very Hawaiian. Everybody was relaxed. Everybody drove slowly, and nobody was in a rush to get anywhere. And of late, we're seeing more and more incidents of road rage.
Yeah.
And people just sullen and hostile, and we know that the economic hardships are a big part of it.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people concerned on this island that if the U.S. provokes a real shooting war with North Korea, mm-hmm. with Russia, with China, we are inevitably a target on this rock.
Yeah, because all the comms come through here toward Asia, right?
All the communication hub for the entire Pacific is on Oahu. And yes, they have satellite bypasses and everything, mm-hmm. but we're still a target. Commander of the Pacific Fleet is here. All the command facilities are here. We would be a target.
Yeah. I'd like to bop over now to Syria. And this has been kind of a Pyrrhic victory, if you will, for the United States Special Forces in Raqqa. Apparently more than 1,800 civilians have been killed overall in the defeat of ISIS at Raqqa. And the U.S.-backed democratic Syrian forces have announced the capture of Raqqa from so-called Islamist State fighters, while coalition officials say that there are still small pockets of resistance. It is now possible to assess the significant civilian toll of the four-month battle. Apparently, some 200,000 civilians, by some estimates, were in the city when operations to dislodge ISIS began on June 6th. Through the SDF and coalition appeared at times to give conflicting instructions to civilians, most were able to flee, including several thousand during the last week of the fighting, following an agreement that also saw the surrender and evacuation of about 275 ISIS fighters. You know, and this strikes me because I remember with President Trump's campaign, he promised not only to kill ISIS, but their families, their children, their wives, their aunties, their uncles. And we can see how this has been demonstrated in this very huge number of casualties in Raqqa, where, by the way, and I'd like to remind our audiences about this, the U.S. has never been invited by the Syrian government to fight ISIS, but became instead an enabler for proxy jihadists.
See, the scam is very, very simple. Yeah. The U.S. sent ISIS into Syria because they needed an excuse to keep attacking Syria mm-hmm. When that nonsense about Assad gassing his own people fell apart.
Yeah.
And now they're looking for a new way to stay in there. They're not invited. Somebody actually put up a drone video mm-hmm. taken over Raqqa. That city is smashed. It's absolutely ruined.
It's rubble. It's rubble right now.
Reminds me of that old cliche from Vietnam. We had mm-hmm. to destroy the village to save it.
I remember that, and it left a very bitter taste in my mouth then, and it does at 68 now. I would like to bop over to Afghanistan for what is going on here. And apparently, this has been like a string of things that has happened. The Taliban has destroyed an Afghan army base in Kandahar. A major Taliban attack in Afghan's Kandahar province has resulted in the destruction of the whole enchilada, Afghan army base, and the deaths of at least 58 Afghan soldiers. The toll is expected to rise with other wounded and six missing. The attacks began when the Taliban started detonating two armored vehicles full of explosives, causing massive damage. Other Taliban swooped into the base and destroyed everything that was left. And on the promise of anonymity, there was a statement made. Unfortunately, there is nothing left inside the camp, the Afghan Defense Ministry confirmed. They have burned down everything they found inside. This is the latest of several major attacks on Afghan security forces in the last few days. Now, I've got a question for SecDef Mathis. A word, please. If the current U.S.-NATO surge is working, why, please, are these Taliban attacks escalating by the day? It doesn't make logical sense. I'm no military tactician, but just logically, if the improved numbers of U.S. and NATO are surging, but it's not holding back these attacks, what
no,
good is it?
No, it's just angering the Afghan people. Yeah. They're very tough. I mean, there's a reason Afghanistan is called the graveyard of empires. The last military commander to completely conquer Afghanistan and hang on to it was Alexander the Great.
Right.
And he only kept it for 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on in Afghanistan is the same thing that's going on in Syria. The U.S. is losing, mm-hmm. but they don't want to admit that they're losing. They don't want to appear to be losing. So they're going to keep on pouring more of your children into Syria and Afghanistan on flimsier and flimsier pretexts.
Yeah.
And they don't care how many of your kids get killed, mm-hmm. as long as they can say, the war isn't over. We're still in there. We can still be victorious.
Yeah. And Mike, wise presidential leadership with any small grasp of the history of this part of the world would have never made the mistake of engaging Afghan militarily in a heartbeat.
Well, I've got to tell you, Putin's got to be laughing his head off
over this.
Because this was the, you know, the trap the Soviet Union fell into. And it was the Soviet Union's defeat in Afghanistan, which began the downfall of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Because the world realized the Soviet military wasn't invincible.
Mm-hmm.
They could be defeated by, you know, the Mujahideen. Yes, covertly armed with weapons by the United States government. But that was the beginning of the end for the Soviet Union. And it'll be the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
If the Taliban can drive the puppet regime out of Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
If Iraq can drive the Americans out of Iraq, if Assad can get the Americans out of Syria, it will be the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
America's military might will be seen as a hollowed-out shell, an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And again, going back to what we're hearing coming out of the U.S. Navy ships, there's clearly a morale and training and command problem completely through the ranks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I talked about wisdom and 2001, what we had in the White House was the most horrifically polar opposite from wisdom. Feebly intellectual in the person of one George W. Bush, scion of a wealthy Texas oil family, which believed, as a matter of personal dogma, that it had a divine right to rule the White House via the second most criminal and skewed history in America's history.
Yep.
If you haven't seen the film Recall, please do it. Now, adept speechwriters and highly scripted photo ops could only barely mask the innate lack of intelligence this guy had. So he was, I think, very easily railroaded into military misadventures, which had absolutely no chance to be successful either in the short run or the long run. Now, his unholy enablers, Cheney and Rumsfeld, cheerled the idea when the money the Taliban wanted for use of their pipelines was far more than American oil companies were willing to pay. Plus, you had the issue of instability in the country. So the result of the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan has been a colossal strategic failure bought at catastrophic cost in American blood and money. Now, SecDef Mathis, you are a very respected military professional. You are highly respected, and in fact, sometimes the word revered is used by people who have served under you. You and President's team have been agitated about what the international community may think about the U.S. and NATO leaving Afghanistan. But, sir, I think it's time for you and President Trump to pay just a little attention, please, to the folks who worked against all odds to put your boss into the White House. Now, Mike and I count ourselves as two of those people. So what I'm asking here of SecDef Mathis, it is logical after 16 years on to have U.S. and NATO troops evacuate the country as quickly, as safely as possible, then negotiate with whatever government is left standing in Kabul for the pipeline and mineral rights.
Don't forget the opium. All right, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way. Can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse every day.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And Claire, this was the story. It's FEC, not FCC, but please share with us.
Yeah. Former Federal Election Committee chair demands internet disinformation crackdown in major threat to free speech. In one of the most reckless and chilling attacks on free speech, the former chair of the Federal Election Committee and Berkeley lecturer Anne Revell is pushing for a federal crackdown on disinformation on the internet, and it's a term that she doesn't really want to define very much. Revell is pushing a proposal that she laid out in a paper co-authored with Abby Wood, an associate professor of the University of Southern California, and Irina Dunkenny, a student at USC Gould School of Law. To combat fake news, Revell and her co-authors would undermine the use of the internet as a forum for free speech. The regulation would include the targeting of people who share stories deemed fake or disinformation by government regulators. My dear Dr. Revelle, you've just shown your hand to whom you work, to whom you report, and by whom you get paid. The irony is that such figures are decrying Russian interference with our system and responding by curtailing free speech, something Vlad Putin would certainly applaud. No, he wouldn't. When telling the truth becomes a criminal act, and most government officials behave as criminals in order to protect their wealth and their station, what happens to the country as a whole?
We become a dictatorship.
Yeah, and we're nearly at that tipping point right the darn heck now.
Yes, we are.
Now, Revelle is frightened, and justifiably so, at so much coming out at this point that the elites are unable to put the genie back in the bottle, like the fact that Hillary Clinton took bribes to get the Uranium-1 deal done with Russia, the fact that Hillary's Clintonistas stole the Democratic primary from Bernie Sanders, the facts that U.S.-enabled Saudi military is guilty of war crimes in the slaughter of innocents in Yemen, and that President Bush lied the American people into two wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, not because the American people were in any danger, but to control the oil, pipeline, and mineral resources in those countries.
And the opium.
Yeah, well, that too. These alleged government regulators, in which he's willing to put so much trust, will always lie to the American people, Mike, to further the deep state's agenda. And that agenda generally goes something like this. Create a false narrative. Demonize the country the U.S. wants to regime change and from which it wants to expropriate resources to which it really has no moral right. Regime change, make sure the government in place after the coup is much more Western-centric, then ensure that those resources are expropriated and only sold with American permission and for American dollars. Now, we have seen this pattern, Mike, in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and Somalia. We don't want to hear the lies one more time, Dr. Revelle. Thank you very much. And in looking at Dr. Revelle's proposal on this, I just have to wonder, Mike, how much of her portfolio is represented by the military-industrial complex, the guys who make the bombs and the bullets, because that's ultimately what happens before the regime change comes. There is and are physical attacks. Now, it would seem to me, and I think you'd agree with me on this, is actually the job these days of the occupied, unhinged, surveilled states of America's governments in the 21st century to create narratives to forward their agendas, which right now looks like conquering the entire world one bit at a time and controlling all of its resources in sort of a slow-mo Pac-Man style, but using real bombs and bullets to accomplish its ends. Mike, what do you think?
Well, in the version of the article I read, she gave one of her motivations for wanting to do this is to restore voter confidence, which tells me that basically the issue is that the government is finally realizing the American people don't trust them, don't believe them. We are aware that our election system is an absolute joke.
Yeah.
The only way they can sort of reassert the red pill on us all is to find some way to silence the independent media. They're going to have to find some kind of way to get around that pesky First Amendment.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to take another break for commercials, and I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you've got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York City.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And before we go back to Claire, we're just noticing on the corporate media, they're regurgitating Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, the one that disappeared somewhere over the Indian Ocean, somewhere in that region. They're recycling that one. And again, it's like we do have more immediate pressing things to be talking about, like the Uranium One deal. Now, to give Fox News credit, they are the only corporate media out there that are reporting on any of the aspects of this story. The rest of the corporate media, it's just absolute silence, and they're shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, we gave this 92 seconds 2 years ago. It's not current events anymore. And again, they're still obsessing over Donald Trump's phone call to the Gold Star widow, trying to make something out of that. But she released the entire tape of the phone call and was very respectful. Again, it's another big nothing burger. And that's what the corporate media is there to do. Feed you nothing burgers so that you're not paying attention to what's really going on. like we said before, it caught a lot of people by surprise. We have troops in Niger? We didn't even know. So, anyway, getting on back to your talking points.
Okay. The Catalonian crisis is getting uglier very quickly. Spain is moving to suspend Catalan's autonomy. As of tomorrow, as the region's leader threatens to declare independence, the government said ministers would meet to activate Article 155 of the Spanish Constitution, allowing it to take over the region's running. Catalonian leaders said that the region's parliaments would vote on independence if Spain continued repression. A repression outlawed by Spain was held earlier this month.
A referendum outlawed by...
Referendum, yes. Of the 43% who voted, 91% of independence. There is some fear that the latest moves could spark further unrest after mass demonstrations before and since the ballot on 1 November. And Spain's Supreme Court has declared the vote illegal and said that it violated the Constitution, which describes the country as indivisible. Article 155 of their constitution, which cemented democratic rule 3 years after the death of Franco in 75, allows Madrid to impose direct rule in a crisis, but it's never been invoked. Now, Mike, my take on this is that Spanish Prime Minister Rajoy seems kind of heck-bent on creating a second civil war in Spain. And so one has to really ask, are NATO troops going to be sent to Catalonia under the guise of peacekeepers?
I would say in all probability that would be yes, because anybody breaking free now is a threat to the globalist agenda.
Yeah.
The globalist agenda is in serious, serious trouble right now, mm-hmm. and they're fighting back as hard as they can. Soros apparently just poured another $18 billion with a B into his Open Society Foundation. So they're going to be putting pedal to the metal, trying to push this open borders, get the refugees blended on in, drop the borders and bring about the New World Order as hard as they can.
Yeah.
And the harder they push, the harder people are pushing back. But, you know, the other day, Vladimir Putin made a very cogent observation.
Mm-hmm.
He said NATO only has itself to blame for all this talk about secession all across Europe because of their support of Kosovo independence.
Ah.
And again, it underscores the double standards and hypocrisy of the NATO nations and the United States in that, let's get Kosovo broken free. They have a right to be independent, and all these other countries do not.
Yeah.
Well, the reason was Kosovo had all these mines, especially the Trepka lead mines that were formerly under somebody else's control, and then they were brought into Western U.S. U.S. control.
Yeah.
And so that's really what it's all about. They're fine for areas breaking off independence if they're coming their way with a lot of wealth.
Right.
And they're absolutely opposed to anybody fighting for independence who might be tending to go the other direction toward Russia or China.
Like Crimea. But the thing that Prime Minister Rajoy seems to be utterly ignoring are the optics of such a move. And this is why. Spain is a signatory to the UN Charter, and in the UN Charter is enshrined the right to peaceful self-determination. And so if one is a signatory to the UN Charter, one says, okay, you know, people have the right to peaceful self-determination.
But the only way the UN would actually enforce that is through a Security Council resolution where the U.S. would stand up and go veto.
Yeah. But the one question I think that Spanish Prime Minister Rajoy has not asked is, if he is determined to suppress the heretofore generally peaceful Catalonian independence movement, does that not compel Spain to do a Brexit from the UN on this issue? And I'm asking the Prime Minister of Spain, hey, think it through, think it through.
It doesn't compel Spain to do anything. I mean, we're living in an age right now where governments just do what they want to do. And the only thing that's really changed is they've lost the ability to convince their populations that what they're doing is right, moral, just, and legal.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the corporate media all around the globe has lost their credibility in the age of the internet. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have people like Revelle out there saying, we've got to shut it down. We can't rule you effectively if we can't lie to you.
Yep.
You know, if we can't commit frauds on you and false flags, then how are we going to run a country? Well, you know, it is possible to run a country without lies, fraud, and deception. Mm-hmm. Certainly, they were doing a good job of it in this country back in the late 1700s.
Yep.
But the problem is our current generation of politicians have gotten away with ruling the country with lies, fraud, and deception for so long, mm-hmm. they've actually forgotten any other way to run the nation.
Yep.
And what we have here, I call it the narcocracy, it is an openly criminal government. And now we're seeing the repressive measures start to become public. Like I said, we've got this coffee mug over at our store that we sell, and it says on the front of it, the fastest way to bring down a dictatorship is to force it to act like one where everybody can see it. And that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Because this suggestion by Revelle about government-approved moderators decide what is real and what is fake news, and anybody carrying the fake news gets sued, that's provoked a tremendous backlash.
Yeah.
And again, it is completely unconstitutional.
And it shows you who she actually is working for, the deep state of America.
More importantly, it shows who they're afraid of.
Yes. And unfortunately, people like Mike and me are people that they are afraid of.
Well, they're afraid of all the American people now who refuse to drink the Kool-Aid.
Right, right. Today is a very unfortunate anniversary. 6 years ago today, the U.S. helped murder Gaddafi in Libya to stop the creation of a gold-backed currency. And the West took it upon itself to use NATO to overthrow Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, not for any humanitarian threat to their civilians, as has repeatedly been claimed, but because his planned rollout of a new currency to be used across Africa posed a palpable existential threat to central banks at the heart of the Western financial and political system. Long theorized to be the actual vehicle for Gaddafi's downfall, the gold-backed dinar-based Pan-African currency motive came to light in nascent 2016 in one of more than 3,000 of Hillary Clinton's emails released by the State Department, conveniently timed with the New Year's holiday to abate outrage or repercussions.
Well, it didn't work because we reported on it
on
our New Year's show.
And I remember what she said about his execution, which was, I can't even begin to describe it on the radio because it is so physically, horrifically brutal. But what she said was, we came, we saw, he died, thus cackled Clinton upon hearing Gaddafi's execution.
Yeah, it was that cackle that was very unnerving. She actually thought this was a cool thing. She enjoys murder and death.
She kind of got off on it.
Look at that long trail of dead bodies behind the Clintons. I'm sure she had orgasms for every one of those things.
And we can see
We whacked Vince Foster.
And we can see now just how stabilizing that action has been for Libya, now factionalized in a bloody civil war, which is still tearing the country apart 6 years on.
But we did make the world safe for fiat currencies and private central banking by getting rid of that gold dinar.
Amen. Amen.
And the gold that was to go in the gold dinar, nobody knows where that went. That
just
disappeared.
Disappeared, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
Apparently, there are some numbers that have been put together. President Trump has killed more civilians with illegal drone strikes in 9 months than Obama did in 8 years. And while the mainstream media focuses on anything but the current state of the U.S. intervention in the Middle East, the Trump administration is breaking records by accumulating an horrific number of civilian deaths. Now, former President Obama earned the nickname of Drone King when he dramatically escalated the use of drone strikes while also downplaying the number of innocent civilians who became collateral damage. In the 2 years that his administration devoted to publicly spending millions of dollars to fight the Islamic State group, the estimated civilian death tolls range from 2,300 to 3,400, according to Air Wars, an organization tracking deaths in the war against ISIS. President Trump has been in office for just 9 months, and he has already surpassed Obama's murderous record, with an estimated numbers as high as 4,500 civilian deaths. He likes large numbers. I'm sure he's probably not upset with this. And in looking at all this, Mike, and looking at the big picture and kind of sitting back, It appears to me that this alleged war on terror is simply an excuse to commit genocide wherever American troops are stationed, which causes those to survive to become radicalized and repeat the cycle all over again to ensure that the U.S. is perpetual waging a war on societies that have the bad taste to be living over resources those in the bowels of power in D.C. have decided that the U.S. needs to expropriate in such a way. And this money never trickles down to the people who live over these resources.
No, they don't. That's why they hated Hugo Chavez so much, because Hugo Chavez's attitude was the people of Venezuela jointly owned Venezuela's oil. Mm-hmm. And when the oil was being sold, Chavez would spend that money on the Venezuelan people. And that's just setting a bad example for the rest of the world. All the people in these other countries might get this uppity idea that government is supposed to spend their money on the people rather than themselves. And that's why Chavez had to go, and now they're after Maduro.
Maduro, yeah.
And that's really what it's all about. I mean, the New World Order is inherently fascistic. And under fascism, ordinary people don't have any money. It's all piled up at the top.
Yep. And, you know, I think you and I have discussed this before, but there's no 16-year-old kid in this country who has never seen this country not at a permanent state of war against somebody.
Well, I'm looking back over my 65 years and trying to remember, was there a time when our country wasn't at war then? Especially when you look at the covert interventions, which we now know took place, it seems like the U.S. has been at war with somebody for every year that I've been alive.
Yeah, yeah, I'm feeling that also. And by the way, dear, the U.S. military has assured us very publicly that these wars are going to get worse and soon. And why do I know that? There is an article that has been put out by the DOD, and it says, U.S. military is preparing for decades of hybrid wars, note the plural. And were I a betting woman, I would bet on this, that at some point during the Trump administration, the draft is going to be reintroduced in this country, and this time, the military will be coming both for your sons and your daughters.
Well, that issue about the daughters has gone back and forth, whether they can be drafted into combat roles or should they be drafted into non-combat roles. Certainly, starting a draft is going to provoke a huge negative reaction. Mm-hmm. But I'm hearing word that apparently there's already some committee in Congress that is now actively debating how this can be brought about.
That doesn't surprise me. The U.S., for quite some time, is not conscripted. Russia conscripts and China conscripts, you know. So we don't have that force of troops. We are also, the U.S. military is very much hammered by not having equipment that gets out there and performs the way it should.
And the other issue is, in trying to keep enlistment up, the military keep lowering their standards.
Yeah.
And so they're getting a lot of people who are joining the military just because they can't find another job.
Yeah.
They're overweight, part of the obesity crisis in this country, which is caused by food additives. We've talked about that before. So not only do they not have the numbers, the troops they do have are less than effective. Again, going back to the USS Fitzgerald, the USS John S. McCain, and now the USS Shane as examples of all this very expensive technology being put under the command of people who don't really seem to understand what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. I'd like to go over to the UK and some statements made by their MI5 boss, Andrew Parker.
Okay.
UK terror threat evolving at a scale never seen before. And he defines this as a multidimensional threat that is rapidly evolving at a scale and pace that they have not seen before. And he mentioned that their security service is operating at an unprecedented level and has seen a dramatic upshift in threats this year. And he said today there's more terrorist activities coming at us more quickly and it can be harder to detect. And they are now running well over 500 live operations, including 3,000 individuals known to currently be involved in extremist activity in some way.
Well, how's that open borders thing working out for you there, guys?
Well, I'm going to ask for a word with this gentleman and a little logic. Now, the people uprooted from Iraq and Syria have every reason to be angry at the Anglo-U.S. wars against their countries, which has caused them to flee, sometimes with nothing more than the clothes on their backs. And these people were uprooted to impose regime change and ensure that their oil was only sold in U.S. dollars. The U.S. and Brits made it happen in Iraq, not so much in Syria yet. However, Israel is working hard to get another major war going there. And this unrestricted, unrestrained immigration has caused massive woes for you, Germany, Italy, Sweden, Denmark, and France. So here's about doing this intelligently. Why not only let the best of the best of the best come in? Meaning, these are people who are already proficient in English, want to assimilate, have meaningful job skills in the 21st century, and behave in a peaceful and civilized manner. It's called vetting, Andrew. There is no longer the America of the 19th century when the poet Emily Lazarus poem was put on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these homeless tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
Well, they're
we
wonderful.
Can't anymore.
Well, we didn't even back then.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all wonderful language and wonderful propaganda, but anybody coming to the United States still had to go through Ellis Island for a medical check, skills check, paperwork check. And those who didn't make muster, were sent back home.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Thank you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program on this Pauhana Friday. And Claire, you've got an interesting story I see queued up next.
Very ironic. Apparently, the city of Hartford, Connecticut, could default on its debt as soon as next month. This is an evaluation by Moody's, and it's a warning that is most dire. In a report issued yesterday, the ratings agency's analysts said Hartford, Connecticut's once proud capital city could default on its debt as soon as next month, forcing the capital of the country's wealthiest state on a per capita basis into bankruptcy. And it doesn't look like they have any kind of mechanism to prevent it, Mike.
No, they don't. A lot of people are moving out of Connecticut. Their mm-hmm. tax base is shrinking.
Yep.
Their insurance industry has actually been harmed a great deal by Obamacare. And Connecticut was their economy was very dependent on insurance. It was almost a joke that, you know, if you were going to work in insurance, you were going to wind up being in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're in dire straits there. And again, they got into too much debt. There was always this attitude about, oh, well, there'd be plenty of money to pay off the debt in the future. It doesn't work that way. Sooner or later, you reach a point of diminishing returns. And Connecticut's a beautiful state. I used to visit there all the time when I was living in New England. Again, we're seeing the end result of just over 100 years of this practice of a privately owned central bank being allowed to create money out of thin air and then loan it into circulation at interest.
Mm-hmm.
And the mechanism is very simple. By design, it produces more debt than money with which to pay the debt until the debt starts to crash the system. And that's what's happening in Hartford. It's what's happening in Baltimore and mm-hmm. Chicago. It's what's happening yep. to the nation as a whole.
Yeah.
Hartford, there'll be more of these bankruptcies. And again, we're not talking about a poor city or a poor state.
No.
This is the wealthiest state in the country on a per capita basis, and they can't even make ends meet, as it were.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be pretty awful if that happens. And, you know, the people in Hartford in government, I will be willing to bet you they'll do one thing. They'll raise taxes, or they'll try to raise taxes.
They'll try and raise taxes, and that will drive more and more
yeah.
people out of the state seeking a lower tax haven.
Yeah.
And we might actually live to see a point where you're not allowed to leave your state the way, you know, without a lot of paperwork, the way you're not allowed to leave the country and renounce your citizenship without a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, that could be coming down.
Got to keep the slaves in their corrals. Got to keep the slaves in the pens. Got to keep bleeding them for more and more money. And, you know, the problem with a money junkie is, even with all the wealth in the world in their pockets, it's never going to be enough because they're addicts.
Yeah, they still want more.
Yeah,
they still want more.
It isn't how much they've got now. It's that thrill of bringing in more. And it's a sickness. And we ought to recognize it is a sickness. It's probably the only mental illness for which there isn't a prescription medication out there on the market.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. Well, we're almost at the end of the show here. And have yourselves a really good weekend here. Stay safe. Keep on the lookout for those inevitable false flags that are happening all around us right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you all to please stay tuned for the John Stedmiller program, because he's got lots of interesting things to share with you on this Friday evening. So we'll be back on Monday here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please take what you learn here, share it with everybody that you know. We're in a war to get the truth over the liars. And we'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.